I'm on the road to recovery, step by step. There are tears on my pillow that won't dry on their own. Beyond my ears, I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone.
Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. We're going to have Spencer come up and do our joke.
Hey, I'm Spencer, an alcoholic joke teller.
Hi, Spencer.
And I have another great one from Take Me to Your Sponsor, Best Jokes and Cartoons from AA Grapevine. Mike had not been communicating well with his wife lately, so he asked his buddy at work, Bill, how things were going at his house. Bill replied, fantastic. I give her a hug and a kiss when I come home. I tell her she looks good, and I compliment her cooking. She really appreciates all the attention I give her. So Mike thought he'd give it a go. When he got home, he gave his wife a hug, kissed her, and told her that he loved her. His wife burst into tears. Mike was confused and asked why she was crying. She said, this is the worst day of my life. First, little Billy fell off of his bike and twisted his ankle. Then the washing machine broke and flooded the basement. And now you've come home drunk.
Thank you, Spencer. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and my name is James.
Hi, James.
Thank you for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise or might slash will distract others. Take this time to get connected to God, let the craziness of the day drift away, and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. If everyone's ready, we're going to start the meditation.
Peace and his heart,
We're going to say the fog light prayer, which is up here on the screen, or they're on the yellow cards that are behind the chairs. God,
let your love shine through me like a fog light, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me.
There is a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out in which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. I've asked Paula to read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is. Please welcome up Paula.
Spiritual experience. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer.
Great job. Thank you, Paula. Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech for meetings, so turn your phone off or silence it, please. There's bathrooms up here in the front if you haven't been here before, men's and women's. And we have Paulette here for her seventh session. I'm so excited to hear what she has to say. She's a dear friend. Please welcome up Paulette. Thank you. Sorry, no bag holder today.
Get my books out of here first, and then I'll put my bag on my stool that Rebecca made for me. You okay? Yeah? Just tell me who messed with you. Hello, everybody. Happy holidays. For those of you who are celebrating the different holidays, happy holidays to you. I have a message from my home group for you. James came to my home group last night. And my home group was very pleased to have you there, and they want to say thank you. Please come back again.
Sure will.
You fitted right on in. Thank you. And there is another member who may be on Zoom that came to my home group last night And I will not say his name because it's in Zoom land, but he knows who he is because he's listening. And my home group says the same thing. Thank you for attending my home group. We were very, very pleased and blessed to have both of you visit us last night. It's very nice to have people that you meet at other meetings show up at your home group. I don't know, maybe because I came too early, but I felt energized when I got here, and then I just get whoo and flat. I'm not coming that early again, Mike. I don't care if I don't get a parking space. Anyway, we're on step 7, people. And before we get into it, as my friend Guy says, let's do our set-aside prayer. Please indulge me. This is a prayer that is near and dear to my heart that my sponsor, Dorothy Harris, gave to me before she physically left this earth. And it means a lot to me. It centers me and it balances me and it makes me remind me, actually, who is in charge. And it goes like this, the set-aside prayer. Dear God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself, my disease, these steps, and especially about you, dear God, so that I may have an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please help me to see the truth. Thank you for your indulgence. I am an alcoholic, and I am a member of the One Day at a Time group of Alcoholics Anonymous located in Miramar. My home group meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. I am sponsored and I sponsor. To me, it's the difference between work and working. I do have a sober date, and my sober date is January 28, 1995, and my name is Paulette.
Paulette.
Hello, my fellow travelers. I got to read something. It's been speaking to me since this morning about something in the promises I want to start with. I take my directions from the God of my understanding, doing quiet time and throughout my day. That's how I live today, to the best of my ability. And every time I am willing to follow those directions, I have always been wonderfully surprised. I'm just not willing all the time. So I guess I got to keep coming. I want to read this because it's been on my heart, and I want to start that way. So I'm not one of those big book thumpers that can find everything in the book by just pulling the pages out. I have not reached that stage yet. But I want to do this. I want to read this from my lovely thing. Yeah. Here we go. And that's where I want to start. Yeah. Page 76 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, second paragraph. My Creator. Let me start with the first line, because we have just finished step 6 last week, to get into a state of readiness, which is not an ordinary state to be in for an alcoholic like myself. It takes a certain amount of power from someone bigger than me, which I call God. My willingness to see that the things that have been blocking me and causing me harm, that they no longer serve me. They become objectionable. An old timer picked up a long timer. Stop saying old timer. Long timer. Picked up 47 last night at my home group. And he said something that stayed with me because I knew I was going to share my experience, strength, and hope on step 7. And he said it took him 20 years to work step 6. And I understand that. And guess what his reason was? He said, I didn't want to give up my toys. I thought about that last night. Because the funny thing that happens to me whenever I am doing step study, that's why I struggle when I'm asked. Every time you work the steps, you go through them. And stuff just happens in your life. And you're like, last week I wasn't experiencing these things. And it's just this weird way of bubbling up to the surface things you haven't seen in a while. That you're like, I thought I was over that. No. You know? And so I have been vulnerable and open, very open to all these new things. So I'm working through them. So when he said that last night, I took it to heart. It touched my spirit. Because if he's got 47 and he's talking about 20 years for 60, you know it's not an easy state of readiness that we're talking about. This isn't for babies. So I wanted to start on 76 and read. When we are ready, we're talking about the state of readiness in step 6 that we went through. So hopefully thoroughly enough so you can understand it. We say something like this. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Notice it didn't say usefulness to me. It says to the God, you, which is God of my understanding, and you. I'm not in this. And then he says, grant me strength, which is power, as I go out from here to do your bidding. A service. Service that I've never done without conditions. I wanted to start with that. Because at the end of that prayer, he says, we have then completed step 7. Completed step 7 doesn't mean it's done. It's a lifetime job. It's a lifetime job for me as an alcoholic who did not want to, or sometimes don't want to, as in this week, do not want to give up my toys. I have some character defects that I still like to pull out every now and then. I call them the zingers. Even though when I use them, I don't feel good, I still have them. They're my go-to. So I got work to do. And I started with a prayer. I haven't said a prayer since I started the step studies here. But this one I wanted to start with. Anyway, we're going to get into step 7. And where is my reading? Nowhere to be found. So guess what? Step 7 says, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. It's going to talk about humility, the nourishing ingredients that I lack. Certainly don't possess it, but I got it a little at a time when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm going to walk you through my process. Please remember that what I am sharing on a step, when I share, it's my experience, strength, and hope. I stop taking your inventory at least most of the time. And so when I am sharing, I actually have some experience with living these steps, the benefit of working them, and what the principles I get from them, and practice them in my life day to day. I was thinking about that this morning. I practice these principles in my life on a daily basis in foul weather and in fair weather. In other words, I practice them when I'm happy. I practice them when I'm sad. I practice them when I'm irritable, discontent, ill at ease. I don't get days off. There's no weekends. This is a design for living, and I would like to have a joyous, peaceful, and serene life. At least come close to it. This seventh step, allows me to get as close as the God ideal as I want to. It's all about becoming willingness to give up my toys. And so in step 9, I'm going to cheat a little. And I'm going to skip over, because remember I told you, you can't work these steps cafeteria style, pick and choose. But I'm going to cheat tonight. I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to go into the 9th step promises, where Bill says, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. We're halfway through. We just finished 6 last week. And I am amazed. I don't know about you, but I am amazed at the things that I am able to accomplish without causing harm. I am not locked up. Thank God they don't lock me up for my thoughts, because I would definitely be in jail or in the insane asylum or at the hospital that I work. And so he talks about this in the promises. We'll be amazed before we're halfway through. Well, what is he talking about? So I'm going to review a little bit. Let's do a little revision about what this step 7 is, because I want to for you to understand how it works for me and looking at the literature. Bill talks about, I'm using the 12 and 12, by the way, more of it. Bill talks about it. He fleshes out the step for me more, especially 6 and 7. And he says, since this step so specifically concerns itself with humility, I should pause here to consider what humility is and what the practice of it can mean to me. Indeed, the attainment of greater humility is the foundation principle of all AA's 12 steps. That sneaky bastard. He did. I told you I wasn't going to swear tonight. I didn't. It's in the English language. Bastard is a word. When I came in to Alcoholics Anonymous and was introduced to the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous with step 1, the minute I understood the problem, that I have a physical allergy and a mental obsession, a disease that is about to kill me, the minute I admitted that I am powerless over this, I have a body that won't allow me to quit drinking, and a mind that will not allow me to even stop thinking about it. The minute I could admit that this is the problem I have, and that I know I'm powerless, a small increment of humility has already seeped into my spirit, whether you knew it or not. And knowing Bill Wilson as we do by reading about him, the more we read about him, he has to sneak things in. Because if he told me from the day when I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous that I was going to have to use humility, I probably would have been dead. Because at that stage of my recovery, or beginning of my recovery, humility as a word was dirty. I choked on that. Humility, as I knew it back then, was for suckers, for chumps. I'm not going there. That's not me. It's a dirty word, and my mind would not entertain it. So I knew that if Bill was like me and he thought like me, he drank like me, I knew the reason why it was sneaked in. Humility, small increments, degrees, is in that step 1. And in step 2, that degree of humility was a little bit more added the minute I changed my belief system. My belief system that allowed me to open my mind enough to mentally accept that there is something or someone else out there that is not me that I can place trust and confidence in to take care of my thinking. Sound thinking. The inability to think straight. Insanity. What? Am I good? Thank you. I just knocked it because, listen, guys, I'm just sidebar. I am Jamaican. I speak with my hands and my body. I'm very interactive. I can't stand still, especially when I'm speaking from the heart. So sometimes I'm going to be, my hands are at my waist. Don't be offended. It is just a cultural thing. So now you have a little sidebar and history lesson in being a Jamaican. Anyway, so my belief system had to change this much to open up the door. So I got a little bit more humility because now I had somebody else's idea seeping in my mind. It's not just the obsession. Then I get to third, and third step says I need to make a decision. And this decision is based on the fact that that thinking, which is my will, if I decide to turn that thinking over, my life, which is the sum total of my thinking into action. So it's my thinking, then my life, over to the care. Something that is going to make pay special attention to me. Speaks to my ego. To me, if I make a decision to do that, things are going to change. There's that part. Change is going to happen. If I decide just to make that decision, a little bit more of humility is inching in. It's inching in. You just don't know it. You just don't know. Because if you're an alcoholic like me, you can't tell me there and then. Because the minute you tell an alcoholic that they're humble, all bets are off. Try to tell an alcoholic to do an act of kindness and not speak about it for a month. They can't stand themselves. Have you ever done that? Good sponsorship tells you that. Do something and don't talk about it. I curse my sponsor out every day for that whole time. How dare you tell me not to tell somebody how good I was? Early in sobriety, I wasn't even working the steps yet. It was my first exercise in doing something without attaching self to it for the good of others. And so I'm making this decision, and then he says, now I've got to get some courage. If I do, how do I get the courage? I need to look at the scene of the crime on paper. I am the scene of the crime. I've got some stuff wrong with me that has always made my life miserable. I suck at relationships. Why? Why do I always want things my way? And then when I don't get it my way, I start to sulk. Silent scorn, self-pity. These are my go-to. Or I treat people differently. Love someone and don't like the others. Shower one with love, treat the other one unkind. These are all these things that block in me. And Four talks about it because Four says the exact nature of my wrongs is being my dishonesty, my inconsiderateness, my selfishness, and my fear of frightened self, all steep in what third step says, in selfishness and self-centeredness. It's always about me. And this is the root of my problem. The minute I start to see this line up in four, when I follow the instructions, a little bit more humility is inching in. I don't know it because I'm crying, I'm slobbering, and I'm acting like I've never ever understood why until I saw myself on paper, and I don't like it. And then he goes a little bit further. He goes to five, and he says, in five, not only do I find out how bad I am, he says, I need to say it to myself, and I need to say it to the God of my own understanding. But here is the kicker. I got to tell you. All along, I was not going to tell nobody about me, the dark and negative side that came out in my fourth step. I had to tell another human being. And that is why Bill Wilson, I think, introduced humility in step five. Because what it did for me, it leveled my pride to the point where I had to sit across another human being, look them in the eye, and repeat what I found out about me. And when I did, I realized that I was not a very nice person. And if I was me, I wouldn't want to be around me. And I had to look at this person as this person who God sent to me, who had no skin in the game. In other words, they were not emotionally attached to my inventory, so there was no judgment. I have been blessed that way, to have people who don't judge me in my life. And so what happened is, he brings in humility and he says what it is for us. And this is why he sneaked it in five and not seven. Because I have to tell another person. And so he says, here it is in five. He says, this is what we are supposed to be reaching for in five. He said, another great dividend we may expect. Notice he's talking about a balance sheet. If those of you who are good with money, accounts, not I, when he talks about dividends, he's talking about balance sheet. My assets, what assets do I have now at step five? Starting to look at them. Do you want more? My unsaleable goods are racking up. He says, another great dividend I may expect from confiding my defects in another human being, his humility. This is in step five. He says, a word often misunderstood. I certainly did. He says, to those who have made progress in AA, all of us, it amounts to, and here it is, a clear recognition of what and who I really am. That's what I saw in my fourth step inventory. What and who I really am. That's what the fourth step showed me. And in five, when I was sharing this with another human being who was improving on the truth that I found, this is what came out. Clear recognition of who and what Paulette is. There's no dressing up it. I can't pretend anymore. I don't matter what I do. I know it now. It's written. And so he says, and then followed. So there's two parts to it. Followed by a sincere attempt. Attempt. That means I've got to try every day. But it has to be sincere. It means it's coming from a place where I don't possess sincerity yet. And to do that, I need to have to do something. And so he says, a sincere attempt to become what? What I could be. Last week, Bill says, drop my limited ideals and search and reach for the God ideals. What can I be? Who do you want to become, Paulette? Because now I don't want to just settle. This is what this is about. Seventh step is about don't settle. Because that's about fear. That's about selfishness. You can have so much more, Paulette, if you don't settle. And so one of the things that I am trying to do is, and this is why I like the word when the long time I said about toys, because my toys and refusal to give them up prevents me from reaching for that God ideal. And so he says the objective look I should be doing, it should be looking and recognizing my deficiency and what I need to do to change it. Now, Seven's talking about this when he says here, what do I need to do? Here's what I need to do. First, I got to know what it is. Humility, for me, is planted in every one of the principles that I apply in my life. They're anchored. Whenever I do, if I'm kind without self attached to it, it's anchored in humility. I don't know about you, but there was a time when kindness was never a part of my life. I didn't think you should be kind, especially when you look at people in the way I used to look at people. What Seventh Step says, when I feel like the kindness that I should be living by today becomes more appealing and attractive to me, I should start practicing it. Attempt it. Do it. It's not going to feel good in the first time. I tell you something this week happened to me. One of the things that the blessings I have received and continue is my home life and my personal life is pretty cool. I have a very, very good relationship, especially with my in-laws. That was never happening before this. I have a great relationship with my AA family. I haven't found an AA person that I don't like, to be honest, because I can see the disease when they're acting outside of themselves. I can't do this without you. And the more you show me what I used to be like, is the more I want to be something else. So you are my teachers. So I love that. So my AA family, my fellowship is wonderful. My social life outside of AA is pretty good. No, I'm not dating, nor do I wish to. But what I'm saying is I have social friends that I go out with, and we enjoy each other, and I'm fully present. You know where my difficulty lies? My professional life. And those of you who have known me for years know that I have always shared about getting along with the people I work with. I work with people who have degrees that goes off the page. Do not be frightened or concerned about the degrees, what you guys have taught me. It's character. And I am in it. Character building. I have found that when I find something wrong with a coworker of mine, which I found recently, I didn't like it because it was pointed at me. And I'm doing seven tonight, and I said, God damn AA, now I have to practice what I'm going to have to share. And so I ended up sitting at my desk feeling sorry for myself. Why was I sorry for myself? Because I couldn't do what I wanted to do self. Because I wanted to tell and do things that I used to be good at. that you don't understand this mind of mine. I am the baddest girl in town. You know, you don't know how bad I am. And I don't touch you with my hand verbally. I am good at this. And I sat at my desk starting to feel sorry for myself, because what I wanted to do with these people, I knew it could, I couldn't get away with it anymore. So self-pity becomes my cloak, easily. And I sulk in that for 24 hours, feeling that self-pity, because I did not want to attempt a sincere attempt to see what I could become, because I needed to give it to her. Can't give it to her. And the more I thought about it, the more it bothered me. Thank God for the practices of doing this program a day at a time, because self-pity became objectionable. It's like a stinky blanket for me. It smothers you and it stifles you. It makes you feel like you are not a, you are, you can't breathe. And so I didn't like that. And then I realized that I did not have any gratitude in my life at that moment. And so I decided to pull out my gratitude journal and started to find things that I am grateful for. Now, I didn't start praying for the you know who, but I started to list what I was grateful for. See, I'm trying a sincere attempt of what I can become. I don't want to hold on to this no longer. It's long enough. All because I think that this woman didn't treat me the way I should have been treated. Now, who the hell are you? I'm powerless over people. I can't control how you treat, how you what you say. I don't have to take disrespect. I can stand up for myself. So why didn't I? Why didn't I? What was it? So I take my inventory. What was I afraid of? Something was making me afraid. And when I am in fear, I resort to those exact nature. Dishonesty, inconsiderateness, selfishness, and fear. It's all I do. And that's what I got this week, 24 hours. So let me tell you how seven works in real time, because I am not going from the book. I'm telling you how it works in real time. I got up this morning and I do my quiet time, because that's how I start my day. I am blessed with a home that I have a black backyard with nature. And I go out there while it's dark, because I always like to get out there before the rest of you get out there. And I just sit quietly in quiet communion with the God of my understanding, and I ask. Simply ask. I'm tired of self-pity. I don't want to feel this way no more. I need to be shown what next to do. What is it that you need me to do? And please remove this. And then I get into some reading, and I quietly sit back and relax with my coffee. And I time myself for 10 minutes. That's 10 minutes I give myself. And I say a couple of prayers. My prayers are personal. Some of it taken from AA teachings, but some of it of my own. And the minute I've got into that space, see, it is a change. Seventh step is about revolutionary change and outlook upon life. And how my attitude towards life outside of myself. I can't do this without help. And so I got this morning. And what came to me was, you go in there and you treat this person with kindness like you have never done before. And you can't pretend. You'll know if it's false. No pretending. And I go into work And the first person I saw wasn't her. And I said, thank you, God, because I wasn't ready. And so what happened was, I go in and I say, this is how God works in my life, my God. He gives me a few tries to practice. And I got two people that came into my space as I walk into work, and I said, good morning. They said, good morning. I said, good morning. How are you, Miss P? I'm doing well. And that sets me up for the day. I go into my morning review where all these people are, and I remembered attitude. You go in, a sincere attempt. I'm not feeling it here, but I'm feeling it here. Because I want to get out of this. Nobody is going to rob me of what I know I can get if I live this way. This is not a sacrifice. This is just merely just doing the deal to get bigger than man can ever give me. And so I go into the meeting. And I say, good morning, everybody. And I wanted to say, who said that? Because it was so cheerful, like I was singing. And I'm tone deaf. But that's the way I walked in this meeting. And the next thing I know, this woman is talking to me about something else. Tone, manner, everything coming from her was respectful. And I am doing the same. And in my head, I'm saying, this is God. This is not me. Because I would not be having this conversation. Needless to say, and because of lack of time, by the time I was finished, she was wishing me a happy Easter, joyous and peaceful, and I'm wishing her the same. I left work today feeling a whole lot better than the past 24 hours, all because of this nourishing ingredient called humility. It is not about getting your way. It is about letting go of immature, childish behavior. Because all I'm doing is stomping my feet in a tantrum, trying to get you to say, don't you know who I am? That is for people who don't want to grow up. In other words, I was a child in a grown-up body. Humility is for people who understand that I'm here to serve, not to please myself. And sometimes serving people, I have to deal with some people who are sick themselves. And if I don't realize that, I'm in trouble, which is what I did. Because somewhere along the line, as they said, I probably stepped on her toes and now she's retaliated. I don't remember, because you know I have short memory span when it comes to harming people. I need inventory, written one. And so step seven is really telling me that I must realize that if I have to do this, I have to remember my God-given instincts. One of them is being threatened. Is it real or is it imagined? Remember, my perception isn't that great yet. It's under construction. So how is it distorted? Run it by somebody. Tell somebody what you're thinking. Let them check it out for you. Somebody who doesn't judge you. See if you're on the right path. I have people like that in my life. Tell me the truth, so that I can take the necessary step, because I need this ingredient. It is the anchor that is in the keystone of the third step. That's how powerful humility is. It is so powerful that when I try it, I am amazed that I get the chance to do it, because it's something that was so far away from me. And so step seven continues to tell me I must strive for it. It's never going to be an easy time getting it. I have to be intentional about it. I have to. Because what am I looking for? I want to be in the likeness and the image of my Creator. So I've got to practice some spiritual things. So instead of the seven deadly sins, I need to practice the virtues. There's seven of them. To the best of my ability in all my doings. They're all anchored in humility. And an alcoholic like me have no choice because I no longer can drink or choose to. So what I have to do is when I get that chance, I simply ask my God, as I told you this morning, I need this to be removed. Now, when I ask, just like my ex, I told you, I had to go into work and practice what the opposite looks like. That's the seven-step practice. It has to be the opposite of what I'm asking, because I need to do my part. The God of my understanding could have made me white as snow. But if he did, you know what would happen. I would be sitting home eating bonbons, calling all kinds of problems. So what I need to do is to remember, anything that comes up on my soup that is scum, black, and very much distorting my personality, I need to tell you this. I need to change it. And how I need to change it is simply say, my Creator, I am now willing to have that for you to have all of me, good and bad. Notice he didn't pick and choose what you need. He said all, good and bad. Because when I put all in his hands, the God of my understanding, what I get back is much better than I had in the beginning. My life is worth something that money can't buy when I live by that principle. I am forever in debt because this program and the principle derived from working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous has allowed me to be who I am today. I thank you.
You're welcome. Wasn't she just on fire? Give her another hand. And we're going to have Brandon come up and do a secretary's report.
Hi, my name is Brandon, and I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. And in keeping with the seventh tradition, we're going to be passing the baskets. Every group should be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. We also have QR codes on the chair backs. I've asked Jesse to come up and read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic.
Proud member of AA, my name is Jesse. I'm Jesse. Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for a lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in the body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Uh, 1940-style Big Book sponsorship from the forward to the second edition, Alcoholics Anonymous, of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried. 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, came to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Is anyone needing a sponsor? Okay, we got one. Can the recovered alcoholics please raise your hand? These are the people you want to hang out with. And then screen announcements. We got Broward County Intergroup is where you can buy AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup is also responsible for creating our Where and When and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. And then we have the Broward County Institutions Committee. It's responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get to an outside meeting, such as jails, detoxes, rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedules at the 12-step house. And then here's some upcoming service opportunities. We are asking for donations for this. Okay, skip that one. We're asking for donations for the 60th Appreciation Banquet in April. You can get with Mike Chase for more information on that. And then we have the volunteer opportunities for the telephone relay from the third Friday of every month from 5 to 8. Mike Chase also has more information on that one. And then we have Paulette until May 2nd. And then, of course, here's our home group's Monday night's Big Book Study Workshop, where the Big Book comes alive. Join us for fellowship at 6:30, and the workshop starts at 7:15. We have CDs, mugs, large print Big Books, and the Little Red Big Book and Big Book dictionaries for sale. We meet here every Thursday, starting promptly at 7:15, and we ask that you be courteous and ready at the sound of the bells.
We have tonight's session and all past speaker podcasts at alcoholicsandgod.org. There's QR codes on the back table if you want to scan for that. I'd like, again, to invite everybody to our Monday Night Big Book Study. It's up in this room at 7:15. And to those who would like to thank Paulette, please line up down the center aisle. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer seated. And if you don't know it, it's up here. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
See you next week. Thirsty bodies aching. I am desperately in need of restoration. Yeah, and I am ready for you to take me higher. Yeah, the only thing that I can do is. I'm praying, 'cause on my own I just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man. Getting on my knees puts me back on my feet again. Load is heavy, too much accumulation. These possessions that I have amount to nothing at all. And I am willing to hand over every one of them. 'Cause they won't profit me. Back on my feet.
zan, zan, zan. Oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby. Yes, when you're laughing, when you're laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. Stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby. And I hope shine, 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 let it shine.
Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you? Thank you.
Just won't set me free. Clap your hands and believe me, change.